Our God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. And we want to welcome you folks out there on internet land, for we are here at the Heart of Christ Church, where we just said this, but we're saying it again, where we know God is good.
All the time.
And we also know that through his word, he has called us with three commands by his son, that we are to love God, love others, and go. For in Christ Jesus, all of the Testament, old and new, is wrapped up. And those commands that he has given us take up all of the word of God and present us with the gospel of love, life, and hope. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So as we go forward this week, yet again, we're going to finish the sermon series that I began. It's just a little two-part series because I figured an hour was a little bit too long to be preaching on a Sunday. Not normally, but, you know, hey, I got to give you a break every now and then. So we're going to finish up where we started off with uncapping the well. And as I spoke last time, you know, looking from Genesis into John, we see that each and every one of us, our being is a well of life. It's who we are. It's what we are. It's our life force. It's our thoughts. It's our soul. It's all that we are wrapped up. And we oftentimes put a cap on it to protect it. Remember, we talked about that last week. We put a cap on it to protect it, to keep people out of it so it doesn't get tainted. But Jesus Christ tells us that we are to open that well up, and that well will become springs of living water. Because a spring will come forth from the word of the Lord. He tells us that as we drink from him, that it shall bubble up from us a spring of living water. And that living water goes out and it touches everybody else's lives. It refreshes us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But we've got to uncap this thing. We've got to open it up. And sometimes that can be a little bit tough. But I want you to understand, and I began speaking on this last week, that when we come together as the body of Christ, now, does that mean it has to be here at church? No. We can do this in family gathering. We can do this anytime we gather together. When you were at the fairgrounds, okay, and you were handing out scriptures, that was the ecclesia. All right? When we go on our prayer walks and we're talking to our neighbors, that's the ecclesia. That is also when we need to uncap this thing and allow the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the being that is in us, the life of whom? The Holy Spirit, to come out into our world and to show us the goodness of God, to get excited, you know, like I did last week and I shot the hymnal off. I don't know how I missed that bottle of oil. Can somebody explain that to me? Amen, because that would have been a real mess. And I missed an opportunity last week when I did that. I told the Eisenhowers, I should have said at that moment, put a lid on it, Pastor. And man, but anyhow, we got to remember there is a time to put a lid on it, but there's also the time that it needs to come off, because it'll come into a spring and others can drink from it because they're thirsty. And sometimes they need to see that it's free, it's flowing. You don't have to ask for the drink like Jesus did the Samaritan woman at the well. All you have to do is come to that water, come to that water and drink thereof. And it's not our water, it's him, it's the Holy Spirit coming out of us. And it will well up unto a river. If you remember, turn in your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to be in the book of John, because this is where we left off last time, and it's where I want us to begin today. From the book of John in the 7th chapter, and it's just two little verses. It's verses 37 and 38. And it says to us from this 37th verse of the book of John in the 7th chapter, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.'" And I left you there last week. What does it mean to have rivers of living water coming out of us? Now, I want to ask you something. How much does it take to cross a spring? It's not much. You can step over it, okay? You might even have to jump a little bit, especially if it's muddy on either side. But what does it take to cross a river? What does it take to cross a river? We all know the Susquehanna. You know, I pointed this out last week. Susquehanna River, at some points, it's a mile wide. The bridge on Route 30, most of us know, it is exactly 1 mile from one end of it to the other end of it. So the river's a little bit less than a mile at that spot, wide. Can we traverse that? Well, if any of you know the river down there at Route 30, there are times of the year when you could walk across there. So you wouldn't have to swim it. So yeah, we can get across. But what about upriver a little bit, where the river is over a mile and a quarter wide and it's 30 feet deep? We're not going to cross that so easily. Why am I talking about this? Well, what's on both sides of the river? Trees, living trees. Why? Because they draw from that water. They draw from that water, and it's constantly alive. It refreshes everything and everyone. We get a lot of our water supply from there. If you live south of the river, there are municipalities that draw their water out of there that becomes drinking water. We also understand that that turns into the Chesapeake Bay. How big's the Chesapeake Bay? Oh my goodness, it just keeps getting bigger, doesn't it? And then what does the Chesapeake Bay empty into? The ocean. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Because I want us to understand this principle. This is something Jesus here is talking to us, and he wants us to understand that this is something that is so far bigger than we are, but we're all a part of it, and I want us to see how we're a part of this. We're going to be in chapter 47 in the book of Ezekiel. And here, Ezekiel is speaking, for he's been given a vision, and this is actually a vision that is going to take place in the millennium when we are here with Christ and Christ has set up his rule here on earth, okay? This is something that is going to come, and we're going to see it in a very physical and real way, but there's also a spiritual reality for us here today, now, because it's taking place even as we speak. From the first verse of the 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, thus saith the word of the Lord. Then he brought me back to the door of the house. What house? The house of God, all right? He brought him back to the tabernacle, to the house of the Lord. And behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by the way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went on toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000 and the water was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough to swim in a river that could not be forded. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. How big was this river? And I want you to understand something. He kept giving measurements here, a measurement of time, a measurement of longitude, 1,000 cubits. He's telling us this is a period of time. This is something that's going to happen in your life. You know, we measure things all the time. It's going to be years. It's going to be weeks. It's going to be days. It's going to be months. It's going to be miles. We're measuring things constantly. But we need to understand, Christ here is talking about our time with him. He's talking about this that is yet to come. And right now, it seems as though it's ankle deep. But it's going to get up to your thighs, then it's going to get up to your loins, then it's going to be to the point where it is a river that you cannot cross. How does that happen? Because from us, as we get to know God more and more, and as we begin to allow that water, the Holy Spirit, to flow through us, from us, it begins to reach so many more people that it's no longer a little spring, it is a living river, because he begins flowing out of the very people that you have set in front of him. Can I get an amen? Because as we stand there and 1,400 people accept the Bible and three people at that moment say yes, we have no idea how many of them that went home said yes in the privacy of their homes. And that river begins to flow. And we need to remember, we're simply part of it. We're not the source. The source came from where? Under the altar. Because it comes from God. And he is the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. When you and I give ourselves to the Lord and open up unto him, he begins to do things in our lives. How many of you, before you became a Christian, were a grumpy soul? How many of us had all kinds of problems and everything was always me? We all came to the Lord with joy and gladness, right? We all came to the Lord because we were such a wonderful person that we didn't need any help. I'm sorry, that wasn't me. I found myself face down in the dirt and the muck and the mire, stinketh like a sewer, and the Lord reached into that mess. And he pulled out a living soul. He said, I don't care what the world thinks about you. He said, and I'll remember this. I remember the first time I heard the Lord speak. He said, Rich, I love you. I turned around. I wanted to fight. You know, who's smarting with me? Ask me about that testimony someday. I'll tell you about it. And then he said it a second time. He didn't have to say it again because I knew who it was in those moments. And all of a sudden, my life changed. It was no longer about the darkness. It was no longer about the pain, because all of a sudden, I had joy. I had peace. And all I had to do was recognize who he was and submit myself to him and say, yes, Lord, I'm yours. Take me. I have nothing else. And he filled me with life, with water. And I just bought the t-shirt. I cannot wait to get it. And it says on it, it says, when God made me, he grinned and said, this will be fun. I did. I bought this shirt. I had to have that shirt. Because isn't that what life is when you come to Christ? It is so amazing. Crap happens and you smile and you look at it and you say, how are you going to use this? And he does. He loves us so much that the dredges of our lives become a place of smiling, a place of joy, a place of hope, and a place of tomorrows that I can hang my coat on, that I know I get to come back to it, and he's going to lift me up. He's going to raise me up. I can remember the hurt that was there. And how many of us do? But in the midst of that hurt, there's peace. In the midst of that hurt, there's joy. In the midst of that hurt, there's comfort. Beyond anything we can ever express here on this earth. And that's the river of life. It flows over you to the point that it overtakes you. But it doesn't hurt you. It fills you. Because what? How many of you are still looking at that scripture? You got your thumb on there? What does it say is on both banks of that river? Trees. And they are the trees of life, dear brothers and sisters. They are the trees of life. Because out of that river comes life. And it flows out and it turns into an ocean. And it's amazing because in the book of Ezekiel, it literally says it's not a salt ocean anymore. It's fresh water. Because trees can't grow. There's only one kind of tree that grows in salt water. Does anybody know what it is? It's called a mangrove. Everything else has to have fresh water. Has to have fresh water. What's it going to be like when the oceans turn back to fresh water? Well, won't that kill everything? No, it'll purify everything because it is the freshness of Christ. It is the renewing of God, and from it comes life. And you and I have that very life in us. And when we get together with brothers and sisters, how many of you feel it when you're downstairs and you're munching on the cupcakes and the cookies and the coffee, which, as I said, ain't so good, but it's okay. It's coffee. Brother Bob's over here looking at me like, I ain't making another pot of coffee as long as I'm... No, don't stop. We'll just buy a different brand. But we need to remember what's down there. It's not the goodies. It's the goodness of God in our hearts. It's the goodness of God in our hearts. You know, here at this point, I was going to actually throw in the song "The Goodness of God" by C.C. Williams, and I thought, no, I can't do that because we'd have to cut the live feed. But man, wouldn't it be appropriate to sing that song? Because every day he's there. Every day I get to taste the goodness of the Lord, because he brings unto me streams of living water that together turns into a river, and we are a force to be reckoned with. What does the world do with a river? They put a dam on it. What for? To gain its power. Do you catch the meanings here? There is power in a river, power to move whole rocks, power to tear down mountains, power beyond anything that we can take care of, a hydraulic force that is a reckoning unto the world. Look at the Grand Canyon. It started out a trickle. No, it didn't. It happened from the flood. Can you imagine how much water flowed down through there to erode that much land out of there in that quick a period of time? I want you to think about this stuff. Jesus wants us to think about this stuff. He wants us to understand that as you and I uncap this well, this thing that started out as a way of preservation because I only have so much that I can give, all of a sudden becomes something that you cannot contain. If you will uncap that well and let others in. That's the scary part, isn't it? Because that means I have to make myself be vulnerable. You know, every week I make myself vulnerable. I stand up front here, and a lot of people think, you know, oh, being a pastor, you've got to think a lot of yourself. Because, you know, you get up front there and you talk to all these people. You got to be confident. You don't know Richie Dubs. I'm not that guy. I was so much an introvert before I became what God asked me to become, that my parents thought I was weird. And they were right. Because when you are an introvert, you really hurt yourself because you're not willing to let anything out for fear. Fear. How many of us fear? Oh, no, I'm a macho man. I don't fear anything. Yeah, you do. We all fear one great thing, and it's the great enemy. We fear death, don't we? I'm going to tell you a story. Dear, dear man, been in the church for years, and I mean years, longer than I was alive. He was on his deathbed. He refused to allow his family to come. He was at the VA, Miss Jen. And I think he was on the third or fourth floor. I can't remember which. And anyhow, I was the only one he would allow to come see him. And for 2 weeks, he would not allow his family to come. He didn't want to see him, want them to see him dying, because he was scared. He was afraid to die. And on the day of his death, he called, the hospital called, and they said, he's asking for you. Can you come in? I dropped everything, and I ran in to the VA. I'm standing there. I'm at his bed, and I'm sitting on the bed holding his hand, talking to him. His name was Richard. And I said, Richard, I said, why are you afraid? He said, because I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I said, what do you mean? You've been in church all your life. I said, isn't the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? He said, you don't know the things I've done. And I said, there's nothing you've done that Jesus can't forgive. I said, all you have to do is give it up to him. Give it up to him, Richard. And he'll take away all that doubt. He'll take away all that fear. And all that's left is joy. All that's left is peace. All that's left is comfort. I said, but you have to give it up. If you can't forgive yourself, if you can't ask God to forgive you, he won't. I said, but all it takes is to believe. This man was in the church. I thought he knew these things. And sitting there on his deathbed, I led him in a prayer of repentance. I led him in a prayer that reached all the way back to when he was just a young man and doing things he shouldn't have done. I thought he was a Christian. He acted like one. He came to church every Sunday. He paid his tithe. He stood up. He sang the songs. He looked at the Bible. Man, he did everything right. But he did nothing right because he had never walked with the Lord. He accepted the Lord right there with me in the hospital. And he looked up with a big smile on my face, on his face. And he says, Pastor, I got to share this. I said, you want your family? He said, can we get them here in time? I made one phone call. I had 15 people in that room in 25 minutes. They were all waiting at home. I had no idea. They got there. They prayed with him. They cried with him. They laughed with him. And he died with them. Within 45 minutes of them all showing up. We were singing Amazing Grace when Richard passed. The river of life was flowing so strong in that room that the ladies outside came in and started singing with us. Brothers and sisters, I have seen things that just make me absolutely know God is real. Can I get an amen? Amen? And when that river flows, you can't dam it up because that little door at the end wasn't big enough to hold it because the nurses were coming in to sing Amazing Grace because they saw what was going on. And I'm going to tell you right now, as we, the church, pour out into this community, I have no idea why we have been henceforth held back from going out on these prayer walks with hot weather and all kinds of other stuff. But I declare to you on this day, on the 21st of September, we are going to storm the gates of hell in this place called Jonestown. And we are going to take back the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're going to unleash this uncappable river of life that's going to flow out into this community. And we're going to touch them with the joy, the love, the hope of Jesus Christ. If the church is willing to go with me, can I get an amen?
Amen.
So that means you're all going to be there. Amen. As many of you as can. I don't make you force into nothing, all right? Your salvation, your work is your choice. And this may not be your cup of tea, but it's mine and I'm going to drink it. Can I get an amen? And if it's yours, you are welcome to come because what you are going to be sharing are the very things I have spoken about. Look at the book of Galatians, our last scripture for this day. The book of Galatians. Oh, man, I'm a mess up here. God is good. And all the time. We are in Galatians chapter 5. Two simple verses, and these are verses my brother Bob speaks to me all the time. He knows them well. He spits them out at the drop of a hat because he knows that when we walk in the Spirit of God, these things will be made manifest in our lives. For this is what flows from us as we submit ourselves and uncap the well from verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. What does that mean? Against such things there is no law. There is nothing to stop it from flowing. God does not put a dam on this thing. He opens the floodgates and lets her rip. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But we've got to be the ones to open it up. That floodgate's right here. And either we believe it or we don't. And if we do, we let her go. Because when we let it go, it comes back to us tenfold. God has said, if we will give unto him just a tithe of this. I spoke this a couple of weeks ago. Give him 10% of your pain and he'll take 90% of it out of you. Because that's the way he works. If we give him 10% in our lives, he is going to fill us with the 90% of love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Come on, brothers and sisters. How many of us can do that stuff on our own? I can't make it through the day without wanting to argue with somebody.
I can't drive down the street.
Well, that's kind of what I'm talking about. We live on the same street. Because I'm telling you, in this world, we're all going to have this stuff coming at us. But when we uncap this well, I can pray for that person that just cut me off rather than call them names that are unspeakable in the church. I can look at that individual and say, God, Lord, whatever's going on in their life, would you bless it and slow them down? Give them something to think on other than these things of this world that make us speed up and live our lives and burn out. I want to slow down. I want to see the goodness of God. I want to know that no matter what, life is coming out of this boy. Because I want life in each and every one of you. And I don't have that in and of myself. Where does it come from? It comes from the living God who wants to live through us and present himself to others by our witness and by our testimony. And boy, Pastor David's got a story on that one that you're going to be hearing here in a couple of weeks. We need to pray for him to keep his voice and be able to keep going. Can I get an amen on that? Because I mean to tell you, the testimony you have is part of this river. It is what makes others come to that place of believing faith. And when we uncap it and we're willing to speak it, to be it, to smile at somebody. How many of you have ever noticed if you look at somebody and you got your face all torched up and they look back in the same manner? They're like, oh my goodness. But if you look at somebody and you smile, I told Miss Dawn just the other day, I said, God, I love it when I see you. You always have a smile on your face. Just lights up a room, doesn't it? When you walk in and somebody's smiling, and I love to do it. You know, I swear I'm a nasty man. I'll see somebody that's like, and I will get in their way and smile. How are you today? And it's funny to watch their face go through this weird sense of contortion from like. I don't know if it's real or fake. I don't care. It made that frown turn upside down. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But it's so amazing. It's contagious. He is contagious. And that's what I want to spread. That's uncapping the well. Man, turn somebody's day from death to life just by letting springs of living water flow from you into the lives of others, that we become a river that can't be contained, that turns into a bay, that turns into an ocean that is filled with life. That's what we're going to become. That's who we are. Today, as you think of uncapping this well, you may think you're nothing, but I want you to understand we're all part of something so much bigger. And from you will come rivers. You, from you will come rivers of living water. Because as you smile, as you share, others come alongside and it's compounded. My God's not into addition and subtraction. He's into multiplication and exponential multiplication. So today, let us uncap this well and let the river flow. Pray with me. Father God, we come before you. We come before you uncapped, unfettered, that you may receive all the glory and that life may be worth the living, not just for us, Lord, but for a world that you love and gave yourself to, that each of us who would receive you would receive that life-giving flow. And from it, it would flow from us, that we too would be part of that river of life that keeps us, that sanctifies us, that has justified us, and is bringing life to our world. For Lord, we know it is true spiritual life, and yet life in this physical world. We submit ourselves to you. Our well is uncapped, and may you use us to your cause. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.